My stomach sinks. I really don't mean to piss her off as much as I do. What did I say now? Veering through the crowd, I make my way down the empty hallway, finally coming to the same room she was crying in when I pissed her off the last time. Entering through the open door, I see her standing with her hands on her hips and her head cocked at me. "I would rather eat from a dumpster than take money from you," she bites out. I should shut up, but God help me, I can't. "Hate to break it to you, but you already do," I tell her. "You live in a house where you pay no rent or utilities, young lady."
"I cook and clean for you,"
she shouts, but I doubt anyone can hear us back here and through the music.
"I pay my way, you arrogant prick."
All right," I growl, blinking long and hard. "You're right, okay? But Jordan, men will get ideas. They'll think they have a free pass and they can touch what belongs to my son. You're embarrassing him."
"Your son?"
she mocks, laughing.
"Well, you just missed him, actually. He already saw me, and he doesn't care, Pike. He thought I looked good, and then he left with his friends. He doesn't care."
"Well, I care." The words are out of my mouth before I can stop them, and I freeze, almost too afraid to breathe. Oh, shit. What did I just say? Her mouth falls open a little, but she shuts up, probably shocked into silence by my outburst. Her eyes stay locked on mine, unblinking, with a mixture of confusion and surprise written all over her pretty face. But instead of regret, my temper quickly rises again. How the hell can he not care? And why do I? Jesus, fuck. She's grown, isn't she? And if her boyfriend doesn't mind, then who am I or anyone else to stake an investment in her decisions? It's not my place. No, there's nothing wrong with what her sister does to support herself or how Jordan's dressed tonight. She's fucking gorgeous. I just don't want her body being for everyone. "You're special, Jordan." I take a step closer to her. "You know that, right?" Her eyes start to glisten. Her gaze falters and she looks away. God, does she know how incredible she is? I let myself take in her smooth and glowing skin and the curve of her waist in front of me that's perfect for grabbing hold of. One man should see her dressed like this, and it should be the man who appreciates what he has. "Don't do things outside of your nature because of money," I tell her. "You're perfect the way you are. Don't change." "I don't want you to change."
"It's just a corset, Pike."
"Yeah, and then it'll just be a wet t-shirt contest and a job at the Hook, right?" I fire back. She rolls her eyes and turns around, grabbing a case of Bud Light and heaving it into my arms. I grab it just in time. Then she reaches for a case of Budweiser and leads the way out of the room, ending our conversation. But I follow, hefting the case up onto my shoulder. "You're not working at the Hook," I tell her.
"And you're not my dad."
I nearly shoot her a dirty look behind her back, but that would be immature. Why ruin the excellent example of a level-headed, responsible adult I've set since she's come into my house? She plops her case down on the bar and turns around, taking the case I have as well. I open my mouth to try to say something, anything, to smooth over whatever damage I've done again, and still try to get her to put some damn clothes on. But she cuts me off before I can say anything.
"I need another case of Bud Light,"
she orders me over her shoulder. I shake my head. Damn her brass. I turn around and walk back to the liquor closet, grabbing another case of beer. After I drop it on the bar, I head to the booth where the guys are still congregating and take out the same bottle of Busch Light I had before. "Staying?" Dutch inquires. I shrug, looking anywhere but at the bar. "For a bit, I guess." I down the bottle inside of a minute, and it's not my favorite beer, but I'm suddenly too embarrassed to go to the bar and ask her for a Corona now. I should have gotten one when I was up there. A server approaches, though, and I'm about to flag her down, but I notice she's already heading my way with a tray of shots. She's cute in her black miniskirt and black vest, but she doesn't look any older than Jordan. She smiles.
"Hey, guys."
And then she starts unloading her tray, setting a round of shots in front of us. They're pink or orange on the bottom with some kind of yellow liquid on top. What is this? Jason Bryant, one of my guys, asks.
It's called a pineapple upside-down cake, she says. It's on the house. Jordan says they're Pike's favorite.
A round of laughter explodes around the table at the chick shot everyone now thinks I drink, and I shoot Jordan a look at the bar. She grins, giving me her biggest, proudest smile. And now we're not mad at each other anymore. Taking the shot, I down it, the alcohol going down like a piece of candy. And while it tastes fine, I'm not sure what the point is. There can't be enough alcohol in it to feel anything. I'm sure it will be a successful running joke if I ever decide to join the guys for a drink again, though. After about an hour and another beer, the crowd has thinned a little, and I'm pretty tapped out on 80s music. Jordan seems fine, and I'm not sure why I thought she needed protecting. I should just hit the road. But just then, a Corona appears in front of me, and I look up, seeing Jordan standing over me. Hey, she says, her expression soft and gentle. I'm sure it would be like that all the time if I would just stop fucking with it. You doing okay, sugar? Dutch asks her. She glances at him and smiles and then looks back down at me.
I was going to call you, actually, she tells me, lowering her voice. I don't know if you're staying late, but I was wondering if there was any way you could bring me home tonight. I don't get off until 2, is that too late?
Her eyes are apologetic, like she's afraid she's being an inconvenience, but of course, I told her to tell me if she needs a ride home. I'm happy to do it. No problem, I'll be here. But Dutch nudges my elbow. We gotta be at the site by 5 a.m., just remember. It's fine, I say curtly, barely looking at him. Of course, I'd love to get more than a couple hours of sleep, but this isn't a choice. Jordan takes a step back.
Are you sure? She asks again. I could ask Shell. It's a little out of her way, but I don't want you losing sleep.
It's fine, I assure her. I'll be here. Well, why don't you just give her your keys? Dutch speaks up. I'll drop you at home and she can have your truck. I'm getting out of here soon anyway. Mother, what is his goddamn problem?
But Jordan rushes in, making her apologies. No, it's okay. I can...
Fuck, I said it was fine. I blurt out, shutting everyone up. Then I glare at Dutch. Would you shut up? He turns away, pursing his lips, because he wants to fucking smile like he knows something. Everyone is still for a moment, and I shake my head, pulling my keys out of my pocket. There's no logical reason to wait around for her if Dutch is offering me a ride now. I hand her the keys. Here you go. It works out perfectly.
Are you?
Yes, I'm sure. I tell her. It's fine. She slides the keys into her pocket.
Thank you.
Truck's parked just around the corner. She nods and heads back to the bar, glancing back at me once. I check my phone, seeing it's nearly midnight, and if Dutch is giving me a ride, I'd rather get it over with now. I take a long swig from the Corona, drinking about half. It didn't escape my notice that she remembered what beer I like, too. Pulling some money out, I toss a few bills on the table for whatever I drank and tell Dutch, let's go. He hauls himself out of the booth, his scruffy buzz cut must as he yawns. We make our way toward the door, and I pass the bar, tossing a few bills on it in front of Jordan. She gives me a knowing look.
Didn't we talk about this?
I'm just a customer. The look in her eyes says she's not buying my reason for tipping her, but the humor in her gaze says she'll let it go, this time. We leave and walk across the street to Dutch's Tahoe and climb in. You didn't really want to wait around until 2, did you? He asks as we fasten our seatbelts. Actually, no, I tell him, deciding I don't have the energy to get into it. Thanks for the ride. He pulls away from the curb and I slouch down a little, moving the seat back for more leg room. His wife is usually in this seat. I lie my head back and into my hand, closing my eyes. I feel the car make a U-turn, and then he speeds down the street, heading home. It's quite a few minutes as he finds a satellite station, and the glare of the streetlights glow through my closed lids. It's a short drive home, but even still, I would have liked to have been the one to bring her. Who knows if that shithead ex tries to come around in the next hour? Will she be walking to the car with anyone? I'm not just worried about her safety, though. I have this urge to make sure she's okay and taken care of, and while I've tried to morph it into a
fatherly type of responsibility. It's not. It never will be. I like what I feel when I see her and talk to her and think about her, even when we fight. And I have to admit it to myself. I am attracted to her. I hate it, but I can't ignore and pretend it's not there anymore. I need to deal with it. It doesn't have to be a big deal, though. We go through life running into people we're attracted to all the time. It happens, and you can't help it. It doesn't mean I try anything. I just feel guilty it happened with her. And the fact that she's in my house makes it harder. Cole really did get the shit end of the stick with parents. What a fucking piece of work I am. I can't help it, but I can make sure I don't act on it. She doesn't make it easy, though, getting into it with me as easily as she does. She knows how to press my buttons, almost as if she was made for it. She seems like a good kid. Dutch breaks the silence. I open my eyes, the lids heavy from the long day. Yeah, I sigh. She's quiet, clean. I barely know she's in the house. That's great. I can see him glancing over at me from time to time. Getting along okay? Yeah, why? I feel him shrug. She seems nervous around you. I chuckle. He could say the same for me if he were looking close enough. Well, I can be intimidating, I joke. Yeah, she looked like she wanted to straddle your hard, intimidating cock right there in the bar. My eyes pop open completely and I glare over at him. Are you kidding me? What the fuck? Oh, please, he shoots back. You're telling me you didn't see her fidgeting and biting her lip at just the sight of you when she brought you your favorite beer? She was. She was like a puppy with her tongue hanging out of her mouth, he added. Was she? I clear my head and look back out the window, puzzlement etched on my face. Whatever. Don't talk about her like that, I tell him. That's my kid's girlfriend, man. Come on. Straddling my... I shake my head. Unbelievable. So she's off limits to you then? Yes. Then why were you looking at her like you loved what she was wearing and wanted to see it on your bedroom floor tonight? I wasn't looking at her like that, I grit out through my teeth, but he just laughs under his breath. Asshole. Hey, I'm not knocking- Shut up, I say. Damn it, it's not right. It's bad enough I'm looking at her like she's an actual woman and not my son's girl, but I'll be damned if anyone finds out about it. All I'm saying is she's exactly your type, he tells me, evening out his voice. Did you notice that? You always went for girls like her in high school, before Lindsay the train wreck anyway. Just shut up. But he doesn't. I'm not saying you should do anything, and that's why I stepped in and didn't let you bring her home. His tone turns serious. All kidding aside, Pike, he goes on. She is exactly your type. You shouldn't be alone with her. Yeah, I know. I just hope he's the only person who's noticed. Thanks for the intervention, I tell him. But even if I were attracted to her, I'm capable of controlling myself. You're not seeing yourself from my perspective. He looks out the front windshield, solemn. You look at each other like... Like? He swallows, an unusual troubled pinch to his brow. Like the two of you have your own language.
Chapter 13. Jordan. I pull into the driveway, my body jostling from side to side as the headlights fall on the closed garage ahead. Pressing in the clutch, I hit the brake and park, turning off the engine. The bar cleared out early, Shell and a couple of the other girls staying to close up. So I got out well before 2 tonight. Pike only left an hour ago, but he's undoubtedly in bed by now. He's not a night owl. I look over, seeing Cole's Challenger parked in the next spot. He's home. I knit my brow, apprehension suddenly hitting me. The distance between us is growing, and I feel like he's miles away these days. The need he seemed to have for me a couple weeks ago is almost non-existent now. And I wonder why I'm still here. but I have an idea. Guilt winds its way through my gut as I remember what happened in the shower the other day, and how my brain took a completely different turn than I wanted, or didn't know I wanted. It was just the stress. The moment got away from me, and Pike was a focal point. He's been nice and caring, and I've been starved for a little attention, and I zoned in on him. That's it. At this point, though, I have almost no reason to stay here. But still, even with Coles and my problems, I hate the idea of leaving. This house has become familiar and warm. A home. And even though Pike can certainly be an invasive ass sometimes, I do like him. He cares. He doesn't express his concerns very eloquently, of course, but I know his intentions are in the right place. It's nice to have someone looking out for me and giving a damn about what I do. And I hate to admit it, but I like the way he makes me feel. The way his eyes look at me like I'm the only thing in the world. Climbing out of the truck, I grab my bag with the corset in it. I changed into a t-shirt before I left the bar, and while I felt pretty exposed all night with a few more pairs of eyes on me than I'm used to, I quirk a smile to myself, thinking of the wad of tips in my pocket right now. It's not nearly what Cam makes, or what I could make bartending at the Hook, but it's more than I normally earn in a week, so... And I can't lie. I kind of liked the attention. I knew the moment his eyes were on me tonight when he walked in and I was at the jukebox. I could see him out of the corner of my eye when I walked to the bar, too, and I know that look. Possessive. I lock the truck door, my heart thudding again as I head for the house. I need to talk to Cole. I need to look into his eyes and take his hand in mine, look down at our matching little scars, and see if I still feel this going anywhere. A few months ago, he always had his arm around me. Now I can't remember the last time he's touched me. Entering the house, I close the door, drop my bag, and slip off my flats. I curl my toes, the ache in my feet shooting up my calves. The living room is shrouded in shadow, and I walk to the dark staircase and stop, listening. No noise comes from upstairs, so Pike and Cole are probably both asleep. Trying to be as quiet as possible, I tiptoe into the kitchen and take a glass from the cupboard, pressing it under the water dispenser on the fridge. But when I glance up, I see Cole in the backyard, and freeze. I drop my hand from the dispenser, the glass upending and the water in it splattering all over the wooden floor. Heat courses up my neck, my lungs empty, and I can't look away. Everything hits me at once, and I feel like I'm outside myself, watching me watch him. Cole. I swallow twice, barely able to wet my throat. Elena Barros is in the pool with him, her elbows resting behind her on the edge, while he leans down into her, his forehead pressed to hers like he does with me. Her naked body glistens with water and moves in a wave, matching his rhythm as he grips her ass and fucks her, her breasts grazing his chest again and again. Absently, I take a step, coming to the sink and continue to try to process what I'm seeing. Cole would never do this to me. He's not my ex. He's not my parents. My chest caves, too heavy to take in more air. Nausea rolls through my stomach, and bile rises up my throat. He cups her face, kissing her, his body moving steady and strong, and they hold each other's eyes as he enters her again and again. I can't hear her moans, but I know she's enjoying it. Tears fill my eyes. I tighten my fist around the glass, and I clench my teeth. I'm angry with myself more than him. I should have been the one to end it when we got evicted from our apartment. I knew he only wanted me because he didn't want to be alone. I could feel it then. But now, here we are. And he's had the last word, hasn't he? My chin trembles, and the tears spill over. My mom, Jay, Cole. I am forever the most pathetic fucking person I know. I keep wishing the lousiest people wanted me. Why? Hey, someone says, but the voice sounds distant. Home early, huh? Glad you're not wearing the corset. Did you burn it for me? The fridge opens and the light pours out as someone digs in and pulls something out. But I keep staring out the window. Something cold and thick slowly coating my stomach like syrup. I can change the moment I decide. Jordan, I hear Pike say. Are you okay? I finally realize he's standing next to me. The fridge door closes, and I turn to look at him, tears still wet on my cheeks. His hazel eyes, looking amber right now, immediately narrow, concerned. But then his gaze flashes to the window, and all color drains from his face. Oh, Jesus, he growls and grabs my arm, pulling me away. I lose my composure and start gasping, drawing in heavy, shallow breaths as he veers around me and storms out the back door. I wipe the tears from my face, because I'm upset and hurt, but mostly just pissed. And not entirely with Cole, either. I did this to myself. I always do this to myself. What the hell are you doing? I hear Pike bark. I hear a slosh of water, surprised voices, and a gasp. Shit, Cole exclaims. I thought you were asleep. No one's fucking asleep. What? Cole says. No one. I think he just realized I'm home, too. Drying my eyes, I walk across the kitchen and let my legs do the thinking. Pushing through the back door, I descend the wooden stairs and see Elena hiding her naked body behind Cole, who is still waist-deep in the water. What's the matter with you? Pike stalks over, picking up the towels and throwing them at his son. He catches them, and Elena catches one, quickly covering herself as half the towel hits the water around her. She casts me scared glances. I thought she was at work until 2, Cole tells him, sounding guilty and speaking to his father as if I'm not here. His head is bowed, and he's not meeting anyone's eyes. So doing it behind her back is okay? No, I can handle this. I cut them both off, stepping up. I surprise myself by how calm my tone is and how I'm not crying. I don't mind crying in front of Cole, but I'm not tearing up in front of her. Pike looks over at me, hesitating for several seconds. Finally, he turns around and I hear the screen door shut. As soon as he's gone, Elena quickly runs out of the pool, tightening the towel around her as she grabs her clothes from the lawn chair. I'm gonna go, she says, an apologetic look on her face as her eyes dart between Cole and me. I'm really sorry, Jordan. She ducks her head and rushes past me, toward the house and probably straight to the bathroom so she can change. I turn my eyes back on Cole. His blonde hair is slicked back, and he looks at me with the same eyes he had right before he told me that Nick didn't make it. I wish I was angrier with him. Mostly, I'm just disappointed. It's been going on a while? I ask. His eyes fall, and he nods solemnly. Since your birthday party. You mean the one I didn't attend? He takes a deep breath and squares his shoulders, stepping out of the pool and wrapping the towel around his waist. I've known you a long time, he says. And we both needed each other a lot when this started. But you were always going to move on. You know that. So why did I come here at all? I ask him. Why keep me around? I could ask myself the same questions. We were both weak, hanging on to the only good thing we each had. And we ignored how by staying together, we were ruining it. I love him. He's my friend. How could he humiliate me like this? You weren't supposed to be like him, I tell him, tears pooling again. He looks up, knowing exactly who I'm talking about. Jay was a piece of shit. Not Cole. Cole knew what I went through. Was he trying to hurt me? You were my first friend, I go on. A friend is supposed to be good to you. But he doesn't say anything. there's nothing to say. It's not his fault it ended. It's just his fault it ended so badly. In our bed, too? I ask him. On the nights I was working? His silence tells me I'm right, and a wave of anger suddenly hits me. Did Pike know that Cole had her over? Or maybe other girls over? But no. I stop myself, the knots in my stomach unwinding a little. He seemed as shocked as me just now. I nod, also realizing Cole didn't meet Elena out alone, either. He met up with her at parties, no doubt. All your friends knew, I say, the betrayal becoming perfectly clear. I'm on my own now. Aside from Cam and the ladies at the bar, I'd lost my last friend. He approaches, stopping in front of me. I'm going to stay with Elena for a while, he says. You stay here until you can... Fuck you. I raise my eyes, saying it with the same indifference as you're welcome. Heading back into the house, I don't stop to see if Elena is gone or if she's waiting out by Cole's car. I pick up my bag and head to the bedroom, pulling out my cell phone and sliding down to the floor against the closed door. I dial, the line picks up on the fourth ring, and I swipe away a silent tear as I harden my voice. Hey, Dad. The next day, I stare at Cole's in my bedroom, his stuff discarded where he left it and every last item of mine finally packed up and in the car. I guess I'm glad I didn't bring much. Most of my clothes fit in the two suitcases I have, one belonging to Cam that I brought when I thought I was going to leave a couple weeks ago. But then Pike Lawson built me a garden, and it just goes to show, no man has had to do much to get me to come running back. I laugh at myself under my breath. I will miss the garden, though. I carry the last box through the living room, resisting the urge to take a last look at the garden through the kitchen window, and walk out the front door, seeing Pike's truck pulling in from work. My heart starts thumping harder. Damn it. I wish I could have gotten out of here before he got home. It's not even 5 yet. I cut out of the lunch shift early so I could get packed up and out of here in time, too. What's he doing home already? What are you doing? He follows me around the truck. I shove the box into my back seat, on top of another one, and the car is just big enough to hold everything I came with. It all fits in 2 suitcases and 3 boxes. Everything else is in storage. And I don't see me getting it out anytime soon, either. My father's house doesn't have room for a drafting table any more than my bedroom here. Thank you for everything, I tell him, knowing he knows exactly what I'm doing. You've been really amazing. You're leaving? He looks confused. I close the car door and turn to him, my stomach rolling as I swallow the lump in my throat. With Cole gone and us broken up, it's not right for me to stay, I say. You never had any obligation to help me, but you did. And I can't thank you enough. I really do appreciate everything. And then I can't help but force a little smile for both our sakes. Especially my cassette tapes. I stare at his troubled eyes, the green in the irises seeming to grow darker, and an ache hits my chest. I turn away, pretending to make sure the doors close to have a second to collect myself. My dad is letting me come home for a while, I turn and tell him. I'll be okay. But, oh, I forgot my purse. I run my fingers through the top of my hair and bolt for the house, not letting him finish as I rush away. I don't want to argue with him, and I'm afraid if he says anything else, I'll start crying. I don't want to leave, but I know I have no right to be here anymore, and maybe he'll come into the bar from time to time to visit, right? Maybe I'll see him around more now that I know him and I'd recognize him. Of course, I'm upset about Cole, too. I've spoken to him practically every day for the last 3 years. But I want to be away from him. I don't really like leaving Pike. Who's going to make him converse with people? And who's going to sneak in the vanilla extract and cinnamon he doesn't realize he likes in his coffee now? I blink away the sting in my eyes, growling at myself, He'll be fine. He survived 38 years without me, didn't he? Plucking my purse off the couch, I open it, doing a visual inventory. Cards, keys, wallet, phone. And I close it, doing a mental check and making sure I grab my phone charger, my razor and shampoo from the shower, and any remaining laundry in the washer and dryer. Shit. I forgot to replace his loofah, didn't I? Oh well. I finally take a deep breath, realizing I have everything, I guess. Walking back outside, I fix a half-smile on my face and straighten my spine. To the left, Kyle Kramer trails inside his house with a couple kids who I assume are his, but I don't make eye contact. I don't want the neighbors getting nosy. Jordan, Pike starts in on me, but I cut him off. Thank you so much again, for everything. I head to the driver's side and open the door, my stomach knotting into a thousand little balls, each one getting tighter and tighter. Jordan, he calls again. That car's not ready to go. It'll stall every time you stop. I give him a shaky smile. I'll deal with it. Really, I'm all panicked out. I don't think much will upset me anymore. I'll be fine. Pulling out my keys, I climb in. Thanks for all the work you did on it already. You definitely didn't need to do all that. Wait, he blurts out, sounding urgent. I stop, unable to look at him. But I feel him take a step forward. He hesitates like he's searching for words. I glance up. He shakes his head, looking exasperated. Move the stuff into the back of my truck. I'll take you. I open my mouth to argue, but he cuts me off. I need to finish the VW, he says. It needs to stay here for a couple more days, and don't give me attitude about it. Can you all of a sudden afford a mechanic?
Chapter 14. Pike. Meadow Lakes. I want to laugh. There's no meadows or lakes, and there's certainly no lake on a meadow. It's a 60-year-old trailer park full of dumps propped up on cinder blocks. Did she actually grow up here? I'm starting to think Cole didn't have it so bad after all. I look around, taking in the ancient silver airstreams mixed in with some double-wides from the 80s, broken blinds barely visible behind muddy windows and termite-rotted exteriors green with mildew and exposed insulation. This whole fucking place is a fire hazard waiting to happen. I don't want her here. She doesn't have to stay at my house, but just not here. Jordan sits in the seat next to me, slowly running her palms across each other and staring down blankly, lost in thought. I can't shake the feeling that she's trying to put off looking out the window as long as possible. It's not dark yet, but the sun has set and a couple kids race out from between two mobile homes, chasing a ball. I slow down in case they run into the street. Right there, Jordan says. I glance over, seeing her gesture to my left, and follow her gaze to a trailer with filthy, lime-green siding, and I clench my teeth. An AC unit protrudes from the front window, a rickety old wooden fence wraps around the bottom, parts of it laying broken on the ground or sections just plain missing, and the porch is crowded with random junk, clothes, and a couple of loaded trash bags. Three young guys stand on the porch, smoking and talking. Here? I turn and ask her. But she just unfastens her seatbelt, preparing to get out. Who are those guys? I say. She glances up for only a moment before averting her eyes again, taking her bag. It's probably my stepbrother and a couple of his friends. I pull up in front of the trailer, since the small driveway is full, and turn off the engine. You have a stepbrother? She hasn't mentioned him. She just shrugs. In a technical sense, she says, quirking a smile. I don't talk to him much. But he lives here, I say, trying to get clarification. She nods, and before I can say anything else, she climbs out of the truck, taking her purse with her. Well, how many rooms can this place have if there's another kid living here? Does she even have a bed? She pulls a suitcase out of the back, swings her bag over her head, and leads the way. I grab a box and follow, grinding my teeth to keep my fucking mouth in check. I don't know if I'm angry or worried or what, and I don't know if I have a right to feel those things, or if any concern is justified. She'll probably be fine. This is her family. I feel like I'm going to explode at any second. We walk up the few steps to the front door, and Jordan barely looks at her stepbrother and his friends as she opens the door.
"Ryan, this is Cole's dad," she mumbles. "Pike, this is my stepbrother Ryan."
I turn to the kid and he straightens, holding out his hand. "Hey, man." I shift the box in my arms and manage to shake his hand. "Hi." He's stocky and short for a guy, about Jordan's height, but he tries to make up for it with a neck tattoo and a black leather jacket. In summer.
"So, you home now?"
he says to her, taking a swig from his beer.
"Yeah."
One of Ryan's buddies nudges him.
"Is this the one who's a stripper?"
I tighten my fingers around the box. He snorts, nearly spitting up his beer.
"Nah, man, that's the other one."
But then his eyes take Jordan in, moving up and down her with a smirk.
"This one can dance a little too, though."
They all laugh, and I feel a lump push up my throat like a growl. Steeling myself, I turn and push the door open for Jordan, forcing her inside. I should be more forgiving. It's not like I wasn't the occasional little prick from time to time growing up. How the hell does he know how she dances? I give myself a mental shake and take a deep breath. "Drop off her shit and go home. She's not my concern. This is her choice. And if I were her, I'd do the same thing." I'm actually proud of myself. She's no stranger to my outbursts or pushy demands, and I'm keeping amazingly quiet given the fact that I hate this neighborhood and this entire situation is grinding my gears. I can hang on for 5 more minutes, right? And if I do, then maybe I'll treat myself to Dairy Queen on the way home for keeping my mouth shut for once. Her father, Chip, is passed out on a recliner to the left, the TV playing some sitcom at a dulled volume, while a couple of ladies sit at the kitchen table to the right. They smoke cigarettes with cans of beer in front of them. A car stereo blares in the distance, and a few firecrackers go off around us outside.
"Need any help?"
a lady with dark hair asks from the table. She lifts up her beer, taking a drink, and barely giving me any notice. Jordan shakes her head and veers into the kitchen, around the ladies at the table. She doesn't introduce us, and I certainly don't care if this lady doesn't. Your daughter, or stepdaughter, comes home with a guy you've never seen, and it doesn't prompt a question, at least. I assume it's her stepmom anyway, since she has the same small brown eyes as the guy outside. I inhale the smell of Lysol mixed with a tinge of burritos and wet soil, like something got rained on or there's rot somewhere. We make our way down the hallway, our footfalls creating a hollow thud as we come to the first door on the left.
"There might be some laundry we tossed in there,"
the lady at the table calls back.
"Gather it up and toss it in the washer, would you?"
I take another deep breath. She'll be fine. She pushes the bedroom door open and I look into her old bedroom. My jaw flexes.
"Where's my bed?"
Jordan calls out, sighing, but no one answers her. The room is littered with fucking junk. She has a dresser that's missing drawers, a beach towel hanging over her window, and cobwebs in the corner of the ceiling. I can smell the pile of dirty laundry that her room now houses and narrow my eyes at the hole in the wall.
"No."
Jordan sets down her suitcase and turns to me, grabbing at the box.
"Don't worry,"
she says, smiling at whatever look I have on my face.
"I'll be fine. You know me. I'll have this place spick and span by tomorrow."
But I won't let her have the box, keeping it secure in my arms. I tear my eyes away from the mouse trap sitting next to the heating vent with no grate over it to keep rodents out and jerk my hard stare down at her.
"Hell no," I growl. "I'm done with this conversation. We're leaving now."
Holding the box in the crook of one arm, I reach down and grab her suitcase with the other hand and immediately turn, barreling back out of the house.
"Excuse me?"
She bursts out behind me, dumbfounded. But I'm already gone. I ignore the women in the kitchen and don't even turn to see if her father has woken up before I push through the front door and pass the guys still loitering on the porch.
"Pike!"
she yells after me. I ignore her.
I know she'll follow me. I have all of her stuff. Dropping the box and suitcase back into the bed of the truck, I dig out my keys and climb into the driver's seat. She charges around the front of the truck and opens the passenger side door. She glares at me.
What the hell are you doing?
You're not staying here. I start the engine.
What the hell's the matter with you?
She blurts out. I glance through my window, seeing the guys on the porch looking at us curiously. Has that stepbrother tried anything with you? I ask her.
Nothing I can't handle.
And his friends? She inhales a breath and I can tell she's trying to stay calm. She's impatient with my concerns.
I'll be okay, she maintains. I'm not your kid. My dad is here.
Your dad isn't... I bark, but stop. Insulting her won't get us anywhere. I press my back into the seat and grind my fist over the wheel. Her father isn't a bad guy, from what I know of him anyway. We've even talked a few times in passing. But he's weak. He's a drunk and he's a loser. He's the type who does the bare minimum in life and puts up with scraps because he's too lazy to fight for better. He can't be there for her. This is stupid, I say. You're not trading in a perfectly good home in a nice, safe neighborhood for this. Swallow your pride, Jordan.
I don't belong at your house.
Fury burns in her eyes.
And this is where I come from, thank you. Cole is going to be back, eventually, and he's your son. How do you think that's going to work out with both of us there? I have no right.
We'll deal with it.
No, she fires back. This isn't any of your business. This is my home.
It's not a home. You don't... I open my mouth to finish, but my heart is pounding so hard and I'm afraid of what I was going to say. I breathe shallow and fast, turning my eyes forward again and away from her. I lower my voice. You don't have anyone who cares about you in this shithole.
And I do at your house?
I shoot my eyes to her. The answer to that question coming so easily and so heavy on the tip of my tongue that I want to tell her. But I don't. And she stares at me, my unsaid reply hanging between us. She falters, realization softening her eyes. Just get in the truck, I grit out. And let's go home.
But
now, Jordan. I slam the steering wheel with my palm. She sucks in a breath, her eyes flaring. I don't know if I scared her or if she's worried about making a scene, but she quickly pulls herself into the truck and slams her door. She's tense and pissed and probably thinks she'll deal with me away from prying eyes later, but I don't care. I've got her, and we're out of here. I shift the truck into gear and pull ahead, swinging around, reversing to do a U-turn. Finally facing back the way I came, I lay on the gas and get us out of there, driving back down the lane and pulling onto the road leading back into town. I have no idea what her stepbrother or stepmother were probably thinking, and I really don't care about that either. Let them think what they want for the next 5 minutes, because that's exactly how long it will take them to forget she exists again. No wonder she moved out of there in the first place. I don't think she was abused or anything. I never heard talk like that about her father. But she was definitely neglected. She deserves better. The trees loom on both sides of the dark highway, and I roll my window down for some much-needed fresh air. She doesn't say anything, just sits there frozen, and I could kick myself because I should have just talked to her at the house instead of going through all this. I knew how this was going to end. There was no way she was staying in Meadow Lakes. I wasn't seriously helping her move tonight. I was finding my mettle. But what if she wanted to move in with her sister or stay with a friend? I still would have fought her. I know I would have. It's not that she can't take care of herself. I know very well she can. I just don't want her to have to. Somewhere along the line, I got invested. No one else in her life can give her what she deserves, and until she can provide it for herself, then I'm taking that responsibility. Screw it. She deserves the best. She's getting the best. I stare ahead and lean my elbow on the door, running my hand through my hair. It's not my decision, though, is it? Pushing her around doesn't make me any better than anyone else in her life. And I don't want to be someone else who stifles her. She'll end up resenting me, too. If there's one thing I've learned about relationships, any relationship, is that no one should wear the pants. You have to know when to come in strong and when to back off, both of you. give and take, share the power. I ease on the brake and slowly veer to the right side of the road, coming to a stop as a car speeds past me. Her eyes shift, but she still won't look at me. God, what she must be thinking. I'm sorry, I say, my tone quieter and calmer now. I didn't mean to command you like that. I drop my hands from the wheel and try to slow down my heart a little. Cole is staying with... I trail off, knowing she knows who he's staying with. For the time being, I finish. You'll have space, and you can have the other spare room. It's your space. You like my house, right? She takes in a breath, searching for words.
Yes, but...
I like having help around the place, I explain. And it's nice to come home and not have to make dinner every night. We keep the same arrangement. She pauses and fear creeps up. Maybe I read her wrong after all. Maybe she's just trying to find a way to get me off her back. Maybe she really doesn't want to stay at my house. Will you be happy? At my house? Honestly? I ask. Happier than back there? The silence stretches between us, and I'm beginning to feel stupid. Like I misread everything and she wasn't getting comfortable under my roof. But all the times I caught glimpses of her this week, lighting her candles, working in the garden, having a morning swim or cooking in the kitchen and bobbing her head to whatever awful hair band she's listening to this week. It seemed like she was at home, you know? She was smiling so much, we'd gotten comfortable enough to joke around. And she was even getting mischievous on me, adding stupid sprouts and avocado to the turkey sandwich in my lunch the other day. I smile a little thinking about it. I don't want her to trade down because she thinks she's unwanted at my house or she's imposing. I want to make sure she knows that she doesn't have to leave. I blink long and hard, suddenly weary, and I fucking hate the idea of her in that shithole with no one there who's going to appreciate anything she does. I drop my eyes and my voice. Please don't make me leave you there. I see her head turn in my direction and I know how I must sound. Please, I whisper again. She's staring at me, but I refuse to look at her because I'm afraid my eyes will say something more or give away something teetering on the edge of my brain that I don't want to face yet. She's happy at my house. She's safe there. She has a bed and there's no fucking mice. It's that simple. Yeah, it's that simple. After a moment, I hear her draw in a calm breath as she reaches over and grabs her seatbelt, fastening it. I swallow.
Friday night is streaming on Netflix, she says. Half pepperoni and half taco?
I break into a smile. Turning to her, I see her blue eyes looking at me with the same easy humor she had when we were cutting watermelon the other night. I shift the car into gear again and nod. Call it in, I tell her. We'll pick it up on the way home.
Chapter 15. Jordan. We come to new terms. I'm a tenant now, essentially. And while the end goal is to live here to save money for my own place eventually, I can't live off him like I was. Maybe I could have made excuses when I was Cole's girlfriend, but now, this needs to be fair, no matter how much he balks. I don't need your $40 a month for the gas bill, Jordan. Then let me pay the electric bill. Why would I tell you to stay here to save money and then ask you to spend more money? I am saving money, and I can keep saving money while paying at least one bill, Pike. Or you could not pay any bills, save even more money, and just be out of here faster. And then that pissed me off, like maybe he really didn't want me here after all. No, wait, he flinches. I didn't mean it like that, just... I don't need your money, okay? Let's stop talking now, please? But we didn't. We kept bickering until he finally relented and let me have the gas bill and the grocery bill, although he did make me promise to not replace his snacks with anything organic or fat-free, to which I agreed. If he catches me sneaking in fair trade coffee and almond milk, I'll just tell him I forgot. Taking the broom out to the front porch, I lift up the welcome mat and shake it out before hanging it over the railing. Rain pours down outside like a torrent, and the street looks like the whitewash of ocean waves as the falling raindrops kick up and spatter against the ground. I wonder how well Pike will be able to see the roads on his way home. It's still only about 1 p.m, though, and it's still light out, although pretty gray, so it might stop raining before he's off work. I swipe the broom across the wooden porch, the overhang protecting it from getting wet. The air is balmy and thick, my skin feeling damp, even though no rain is hitting me under the awning. My t-shirt sticks to my stomach a little, and I tuck my hair up behind my ear because it's tickling my arms. Looking up, I see Kyle Kramer pulling his BMW into his driveway, covering his head with his briefcase as he dashes to his front porch. He notices me and flashes a smile. I give a little wave. I wonder why he and Pike aren't friendly. He disappears inside, and I finish cleaning up the tiny amount of dirt and thistles on the porch before laying the welcome mat back down. In addition to the gas and grocery bill, I've taken on responsibility for the downstairs of the house. Dusting, vacuuming, sweeping, mopping, keeping the kitchen tidy. Although he has to do the dishes when I cook. And I only have to do them when he cooks. Which, actually, he hasn't done at all in the 3 days since I've come back to stay here. I kind of realized at some point over the last few weeks, he really only makes meals from the frozen food section in the grocery store. Or canned soup and stews. So I've just taken over meals completely, and he does dishes, and I'm cool with that. I also do the garden, while he handles the lawn, pool, and sprinklers. Our rooms are our own responsibilities, but I clean my bathroom, and he keeps the basement in order. Setting up the individual chores was almost too good to be true. I thought for sure he'd flake, and I'd end up cleaning up crap he left in areas that I was tasked with keeping tidy. But it hasn't happened. He tosses his boots in the closet after work, picks up the t-shirts he discards if he gets too hot, and I never have to bug him to get his clothes out of the dryer. I realize I've never lived with a man who had lived on his own before me. Until now, that is. Pike's used to taking care of himself and his things, because there's no one else to do it for him. It's like a whole new world. Walking back into the house, I stick the broom in the closet and head upstairs to sort my dirty clothes. Cole's old bedroom, our old bedroom, sits vacant since he hasn't been back since he left. I'm not sure what he's been wearing the past few days, and I don't know if he's talked to his dad, but one thing is for sure. He'll be back eventually. I put up with as much as I did because Cole was a friend and not just a boyfriend. Most girls, if they're smarter than me, and that wouldn't be hard, mind you, get tired of deadbeats real fast. Knowing he and Elena probably won't make it is the only consolation for the hurt. He jumped right out of my bed and into hers, didn't he? But maybe he did me a favor. Would I want him back? No. I don't want to hate him. And I know he's better than this. But we pushed it. Because we needed to grab onto something once upon a time. We forced what wasn't there, not because we needed each other, but because we needed someone. We were always better friends. I feel like I can breathe now. And if he has a problem with me being here, I'll let his dad deal with it. Across from Cole's room, I open the door to the other spare room, my new room, and pull my collapsible laundry basket out of the corner. I love my new space. There was already a day bed in here, so I just went out and bought a new bedding set. I could have moved my old one from Cole's bed, since it's mine anyway, but I wanted to start new. Nothing to remind me of who I was with him. I moved the rest of my stuff out, closed his door, and haven't been back in. Pike and I went to IKEA and picked out a dresser, which I paid for, but we needed his truck to move. A bedside table, and a cushioned chair. I had a little fun decorating, since I didn't need to consider anyone else but myself. There's twinkle lights weaved into my wrought iron bed frame, some fun pillows and a lamp, and a painting I bought from a street vendor in New Orleans when I went with my sister. Pike's pal Dutch even brought by his old vintage Panasonic cassette boombox radio for me that he found cleaning out his parents' garage a couple days ago. I guess Pike told him about the tapes. Jordan! A bellow comes from downstairs. I drop the white shirt I was sorting and jerk my head, hearing the screen door slam against the frame downstairs. My heart thuds a little harder. Leaving the room, I jog down the stairs. Pike's by the front door, pulling out his jacket from the closet. Water streams down his face and the golden skin of his tattooed arms, and his hair is stuck to his scalp. He pulls his jacket over his head and his soaking wet t-shirt. I walk up to him. What's wrong?
The riverbank is flooding, he says, charging into the kitchen and toward the fridge. They're calling anyone who's able to come help sandbag before it reaches the streets.
Got it. I pull my chucks out of the closet, hopping on one foot as I slip each one on. Did you call Cole?
Yeah, but he's not answering.
He grabs an armful of water bottles.
Why don't you try?
I yank my raincoat off the hanger and close the closet, grabbing my baseball cap off the hook on the outside. If he didn't answer for you, he definitely won't for me. Pike re-enters the living room, his five bottles pinched between his fingers. He raises his eyebrows, silently asking me again, and I roll my eyes. But I'll try in the car, I tell him, opening the door. Let's go. We get down to the inlet in no time, Pike having already loaded up as many of his sandbags as he had left in the back of his truck. The city has a hefty supply, though, and they were already down here with their trucks. With the rain being so bad this summer and every last inch of snow finally melting farther north, the river has been a time bomb. I remember it flooding the homes on the west side a few years back, but the city got prepared after that. Police, firefighters, city crew, and citizens are now scattered amongst the rocks of the flood barrier already in place. Piles of sandbags are set up all the way from the water, up the incline of the boulders, and to the dirt and grass up here. There's little more than 100 yards of weeds, trees, and railroad track to cross before the dilapidated houses of the old west side that was the first part of Northridge to be settled. The water is rising, but slowly. So hopefully, if the flood barrier isn't enough, the sandbags will be. The people in this neighborhood can't afford to leave, much less lose their houses. The river runs south, growing in speed, and I shiver a little, every inch of me soaking wet. Drops of water fall from the bill of my cap, and rain runs down my legs.
Water?
Pike holds a bottle out to me, and I peer up at him from under the brim of my hat and smile, snatching it up. Thank you. He moves around me without another word, grabbing a sandbag and tossing it to a guy down the line. We've been here for 3 hours now, and we haven't been able to reach Cole, although I can't say I tried very hard. I don't want to see him right now, so I gave it 3 rings and then hung up. I look down at the bottle of water in my hand. My mouth is like a desert. Unscrewing the cap, I suck down half the water, take a breath, and swallow 2 more gulps. There's only about 1 inch left, so I stick it in my jacket pocket to finish later.
Hey, Jordan,
a chipper voice calls, passing by. I look to see April Lester pulling on a pair of work gloves and heading down the rocks toward Pike, dressed in jeans hugging every inch of her legs, and a cute camouflage t-shirt and hat. A black ponytail hangs out the hole in the back. She looks kind of cute. I'm so used to seeing her in going-out clothes at the bar. I pull out a sandbag from the truck bed and heft the 40-pound burlap sack to the next guy in line, and turn back to the bed, repeating the task. Each bag makes its way from one set of hands to the other until it reaches its place on the riverbank. I notice April in another assembly line, directly across from Pike, and she's talking to him. I try to keep my eyes averted because it's not my business, but I find myself stealing glances, and I don't know why. Liquid heat rushes through my chest, and I feel a cool sweat breaking out on my forehead. Does he know her? Have they ever talked? I don't think they've ever been out. They can't have been. Pike's like a priest. He's so uptight. And that woman comes on stronger than a hammer over the head. She'd scare him. I wet my lips, handing off another bag, and unable to keep myself from watching them. She smiles brightly, saying something, and he looks over at her, listening with amusement. One of his rare, outstanding, and gorgeous smiles flashes on her. On her. And my heart skips a beat. I scowl and grab another.